Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My returning guest tonight, and it is always a pleasure to talk to him, is Nick Capasso, director of the Fitchburg Art Museum. And tonight we're going to be talking about the museum's centennial celebrations. Nick, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. Welcome to back to the show.
Thank you, Mark.
We're talking about a great thing, the Fitchburg Art Museum's centennial. You must feel so cool being the director at the museum during its centennial.
It's a really, you know, it's a joyful thing.
Yeah.
I feel privileged to be here, and, you know, there's a certain amount of responsibility attached to it. And, it's literally a once-in-a-lifetime event, and for some people it's not. 100 years is a long time.
It's a really long time. Let's talk about the history of the Fitchburg Art Museum. Because it's weird, when I came to Worcester back in the late 60s, you know, I didn't even hear about the Fitchburg Art Museum until later, like years later.
Sure.
And the way that the museum has changed in the last like 5 to 10 years is just mind-boggling. But the Fitchburg Art Museum was legally incorporated on December 31st, 1925.
That's right.
So who was this American artist, Eleanor Augusta Norcross?
Right. So we were founded by an artist.
I find that amazing.
Eleanor Norcross was born here in Fitchburg in 1854 to a very prominent family. Her father was a man named Amazon Norcross.
Whoa. Did you just say amazing?
Amaza.
Oh, okay.
19th century, you know, biblical man's name.
Wow.
He wasn't the only one. There were other Amazas. her dad was the first elected mayor of the city of Fitchburg.
Oh, cool.
He also had a fairly significant political career. In addition to that, he served multiple terms in the Massachusetts House and Senate. And then in the 1870s, he had three terms in the United States House of Representatives.
Wow.
So he was an attorney and a politician and, you know, a local big shot.
But Eleanor sounds like she could have been the rebellious daughter.
You know, it's funny. It didn't really work that way. So what happened with Eleanor is, when she was a teenager, both her mother and her brother died of scarlet fever, which could happen.
Yeah, yeah.
19th century. Her father never remarried, and she did the typical kind of, you know, upper middle class, dutiful daughter, 19th century American thing, which was to look after dad. And she accompanied him on his political career, and she was old enough to do for him and to play the role of hostess, which was very important to someone with a political career. But apparently they had a deal. And the deal was, when he retired from politics, she would get to do what she wanted to do.
Oh, good deal.
Very good deal, which was become an artist. So she studied at what is now called the Massachusetts College of Art and Design in Boston.
Oh, wow.
And then she moved on to the Art Students League in New York.
That's huge. That's huge at that time.
Especially then. That was very huge.
Yeah.
She studied with some very prominent artists, including an American painter named William Merritt Chase, who was one of the leading artists of his day.
Oh, yeah.
And he convinced her to do what a lot of American artists of her generation were doing, and that is move to Paris for additional training.
Oh, wow.
And she did that. She left for Paris in 1883.
Oh, great time to be in Paris.
Oh, wait. Well, exactly. Exactly. And she basically, you know, made her career in Paris. You know, she would come home to visit, but she was in Paris. And while in Paris, You know, she befriended people like Mary Cassatt.
Oh, man.
She adopted and kind of extended Chase's American Impressionist style. She exhibited a lot in a lot of those famous Impressionist exhibitions. She participated. And while there, she also collected things, primarily decorative arts.
Okay.
And from time to time, she would send pieces from her collection back to Fitchburg and even Worcester for display at the Worcester Art Museum.
Wow.
At the what grew into the Fitchburg State University and the Fitchburg Public Library. And she did it for the benefit of the families of the mill workers, because she held this widely held 19th century belief that exposure to the finer things would have a positive impact on the creativity and productivity of the workforce.
So, so they'll work harder at the looms if they see a painting.
Well, you know, that idea was the foundational idea behind the World's Exposition at the Crystal Palace in London.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole idea.
So, I want you to slow down for a minute. So she's a painter, too, right?
Yeah, she's a painter.
How would you describe her style?
She's American Impressionist.
Okay.
You know, kind of Impressionist light. You know, she wasn't painting like Monet. You know, she never verged towards abstraction. She never painted giant canvases, but
mostly
painted,
landscapes or portraits.
It was mostly portraits and interiors.
Wow. Okay.
And one of the interiors that she painted in the galleries at the Louvre. Now, and you know, back then, and artists still do this, but much more so in the 19th century. Artists would go to museums, and they would buy a permit or a license that allowed them to set up a canvas in the museum and paint.
Wow.
And usually they were doing that. Usually they were copying masterpieces, right? They'd copy a Rembrandt painting.
Right.
So they could learn the techniques of Rembrandt or whomever they were copying. But that's not what Eleanor was doing. Eleanor was painting images of the galleries.
Wow.
Painting museum interiors.
Were there other people in the galleries too that are in her painting, or is it just the galleries?
Well, probably. It was a common practice.
Wow. That sort of is a meta practice. It's sort of interesting.
Yeah, right, exactly. What she was painting was not what everybody else was painting.
No.
She was making these paintings to send them back to Fitchburg so people could experience what the interior of the Louvre looked like in color.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So her so towards the end of her life, she determined that her beloved hometown needed an art museum. Because another 19th century idea that she firmly believed in is that major municipalities needed major civic institutions. And Fitchburg already had a state college and a public library and a hospital. And she felt that in order for Fitchburg to be competitive with other cities in Massachusetts, it needed its own art museum, just like Worcester. Like
yeah, but it's amazing to think about what people with a lot of money used to do back in the day.
Oh, yeah, no, don't get me started.
It's like, but the fact is, this would be a typical thing for a person who was an intelligent person and you had a lot of money. Yeah, you would either found a hospital or an art museum or something like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
And this was the 19th century way of performing community service.
Wow.
Right. And it's also noblesse oblige. Right. I mean, you know, Eleanor was very fortunate. She really never had to work a day in her life because, you know, she was from a moneyed family. but she was cognizant of a responsibility to give back. And that's what she did.
Wow.
And so towards the end of her life, she put her affairs in order. And set up a will that would provide for the creation of a museum in Fitchburg, an art museum. And so she left to this entity to be money, her own paintings, and everything that she had collected while in Europe.
I want to just pause a moment, Nick, and talk about her collecting.
Yeah.
Now, talk to me more specifically about what she was collecting that she liked.
So she really liked, I guess, two categories of things. She liked decorative arts,
okay,
both European and Asian, because in Paris in the 19th century, was a rage for things Chinese and Japanese and so forth. And she also collected European works on paper. Dating back to the Renaissance.
Wow.
And she also collected Japanese ukiyo-e prints.
Oh, man.
Which, again, were very fashionable at the time.
And very cheaper.
And everything she bought for a song. Because these, she, you know, you could buy these things in antique stores and junk stores and paper dealers and so on and so forth. It's interesting with the decorative arts, she was happy to buy chipped and cracked ceramics because she didn't care. I mean, because if there's a vessel with a chip in it, you can still see the fine design the color and the creativity expressed in the rest of the pot. And so I guess she was frugal, but her her taste was wide and varied.
Wow. So she decides she leaves this money for a museum for Fitchburg.
Yeah.
What happens next?
So what happened was she passed away in 1923. She was actually here in Fitchburg on a visit. She and her dad would visit back and forth. So she wasn't a stranger to Fitchburg in her 40 years in Paris.
Yeah.
And in 1923, went on a visit. She contracted a kidney infection, which took her out. This is before penicillin.
Yeah, yeah.
And she'd already set up her will. Her two best friends, and she never married. Her two best friends were women. A painter and a writer.
Wow.
And they were the co-executors of her estate. And they purchased a building in downtown Fitchburg, which was a former barn, which is now our current Marion Parkway building.
Yeah, yeah.
Even
though that's been updated, it still has sort of a barn look to it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so in the late 1920s, they hired an architecture firm to transform the barn into an art center with what they called a French provincial style, befitting Eleanor's legacy. And they hired, so in the 1920s, there were only three architecture firms in the United States that were owned and operated by women. And they hired one of those firms, the firm of Manning, Howe, and Almy, out of Cambridge, Massachusetts, and they did the renovation work. And then the museum opened its galleries and an art school to the public on April 17th, 1929.
Wow.
So everything about the origin story of the Fitchburg Art Museum was imagined and performed by women.
That is amazing, and I think it's a great story.
Although, you know, it's not in the history of museums in America that were founded at around that time. It's not that odd.
No, but also politically, suffrage was huge, And
right.
Yeah,
that's
and
right.
So it was...
And wealthy women had more power.
That's right.
Right? So the Whitney Museum was founded by Abigail Gertrude Whitney. The Museum of Modern Art was founded by women. The Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum.
That's right.
So what Eleanor was doing was not out of step.
But it's...
But for a small place like Fitchburg, it was pretty progressive.
Yeah, it was pretty progressive. It was amazing. What was it initially called?
It was initially called the Fitchburg Arts Center.
Okay.
They did not, and the museum was renamed in 1951. They changed the name, the legal name, to the Fitchburg Art Museum, which better reflect, because by that time it had amassed a collection. The collecting function really is what distinguishes an art center from an art museum.
Huh. Now, the ninth director was Peter Timms, who's the director for 39 years.
That's right.
1973 to 2012.
Right. Immediate predecessor.
Now, one of the things that he accomplished, I think it was during this, is the collaboration with the Fitchburg Public Schools.
Yeah, well, Peter accomplished a lot of things, and he's the one who... So you said early on that when you first came to Worcester, you never heard of the Fitchburg
Museum. Nah.
Peter's the one who put it on the map.
Yeah.
And he did that in a number of ways. He expanded the physical plant significantly. He more than tripled the size of the museum by building new wings and acquiring property and made us what we are today in terms of the size of our galleries and studio spaces and et cetera. Peter also built an endowment, which helps to sustain the museum today. And he also had this very interesting collaboration with the Fitchburg Public Schools, which is what you were addressing
in
the question.
Well, I think a quote from him that he described the Fitchburg Art Museum as a museum with a school at its heart.
That's right. That's right. They even did some rebranding to reflect that. So here's what happened. At the time, and this was in the 90s, there was a middle school right across the street, the B.F. Brown Middle School. And some people from the middle school came to the art museum and said, you know, we got a bunch of kids who are really struggling, and we think that they are object-based learners, and we really don't know how to teach to these kids, and we're afraid they're all going to drop out and fail. Could the museum help us? And Peter thought this was a very interesting and worthwhile challenge, and they put together a program called the Partnership School, which ran for about a decade. And it was a partnership between the museum and the Fitchburg Public Schools set up for middle school students. And they based almost their entire curriculum around objects in the collection here at the museum.
Oh, that's cool.
And I'm not just talking about history and art and design. I'm talking about math and science and English and the whole smash.
Nick, I'm going to rush us along because we have like 5 minutes left.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, you're the 10th director, and you grew the collection. It was an amazing thing that you did. 8,000 artworks, and with an emphasis on American art, African art, photography especially.
Yeah.
A special commitment to New England and contemporary artists. I want to say, the commitment to contemporary artists has blown my mind. I mean, some of the most interesting artists I've interviewed on this show are artists that have exhibited at the Fitchburg Art Museum.
Thank you.
Tara Sellius she's become one of my all-time favorite artists. And but I mean, Tribe with the Three Eyes. I had them all down here.
A lot of interesting artists.
Yeah, you really have. When all of the Tribe came down here, it was hilarious because there was a ton of them. So we want to talk about the Centennial Celebration before we run out of time. It's going to go over 4 years.
So, yeah, we're doing it over 4 years because from the date of our incorporation to the date that we opened. And so very quickly, we're doing this in a number of ways. We have these special exhibitions up right now.
Well, let's talk them one at a time. One's called Festival, a Celebration of African Art at the Fitchburg Art Museum.
That's right. And it's just a presentation of some of the most fabulous, just fabulous objects we have in our outstanding African collection.
Is Jean Borgatti connected?
Yes. Jean Borgatti is our African art curator, and she organized this show. We basically asked her to show off the collection. And that's what these are. These are show-off shows.
Yeah, yeah.
And the idea is, it's our centennial. Our community should see what we are holding in trust for our community. Yeah. And the other show, which is organized by our curator, Emily Mazzola, is called Kaleidoscope, 100 Years of Collecting for Our Community. And it's a salon-hung show of over 500 objects from our collection.
Whoa.
And salon-hung is just the fancy art history word for hung from floor to ceiling.
Right, I was going to say, it's crammed. Everything is crammed in there. That's the way, like, when you'd see these old paintings of museums from, they would go floor to ceiling.
The art museum has a salon-hung gallery of Baroque paintings. Yeah, because that's how they used to show them back then.
Oh, my God. Now, let's talk, when is Festival going to open?
They're both open. They're open now.
Okay, for how long, though?
They're open now. They're both open. Festival is open until the fall. I don't have the dates in front of me.
Okay.
I'm sorry to say, but you can find
just make something up.
Yeah, and Kaleidoscope's going to be up for over a year.
Well, what I want to add is that if you go to the WICN website and to the Inquiry website, I have the link to the Fitchburg Art Museum. Go there, and all your questions will be answered.
Okay, and then the last thing I need to squeeze in, Mark, and this is really important, we have done free admission.
What?
Everyone comes to the Fitchburg Art Museum for free. And we're doing this for our entire centennial period as a gift back to our community for having supported us for now over 100 years.
OMG. That's amazing, Nick.
Yeah, that's been really important to me personally. I think all museums should be like the public library. Everybody should be able to go whenever they want.
Well, that's one of the things I noticed, that idea may have always been there in the history of the Fitchburg Art Museum, but when you took the reins over, you really made a commitment to the immediate communities of Fitchburg and Leominster.
Yeah, we wanted to realign with Eleanor Norcross's original vision of community service, but perform it in a 21st century kind of way.
That's a great way to do it. So there's really no excuse to not go.
There's no excuse.
I don't have the money on me. I can't go there. It's like,
no, you can come. You can come and enjoy the Fitchburg Art Museum.
Wow.
Everyone.
So how about contemporary shows during that time period?
Yes, we're figuring that out. So currently the Tara Selyos photography show is up, and that's a contemporary photography exhibition.
She's been on my show several times, including recently.
Right.
And if you, first of all, I just want to put a plug in for Tara. If you've never seen her work, please go see it.
Yeah, her work is spectacular.
Yeah.
And then this summer, we're also doing what we've done every year for 90 years.
Oh, God, it's coming.
Regional exhibition of art and craft.
Okay, you got to go through the specifics of that. Who can?
Okay, so that's a juried exhibition for artists and craftspeople who live or work within 30 miles of Fitchburg.
Do you actually have a map? Do you actually use a map with a circle?
No. Well, we use a map, and then we list out all the towns and cities, literally, in the application material. So there's no confusion.
These shows have been amazing.
And it's just lots of variety, but it's a celebration of the artists in our region where there are the places where contemporary artists in central Massachusetts can show their work is few and far between. And this is a venue that they can count on every year. And then the best part, maybe it's not the best part, but a really good part is that, you know, we give out a bunch of prizes. If you win the first prize at the regional exhibition, you get your very own solo exhibition at the museum the following summer. And this coming summer, we will be presenting the work of Worcester artist James Dye.
I've always found these shows absolutely amazing. And the variety of the work is just incredible. It's always been fun. It's a fun exhibition. And how can, you know, to get a show like that, if you get first prize, is just incredible. Hey, go ahead. You're the director.
I was going to say, that's a really great opportunity for a regional artist.
It really is.
A solo show at a museum.
Yeah, and you're shown in a major museum next to other artists from the area. And it's always hung with, it's not just slapped on the wall. People, I know that the curators.
Oh, our curators.
Oh, God. It's a nightmare.
Yes, to wrest order from chaos.
Oh, my God. I've done interviews with the people who are hanging, and it's like, nah, nah, nah. In the few minutes we have left, I want to talk to you personally about this, about when you left the De Cordova and came to the Fitchburg Art Museum. How has your idea of the museum changed over the decades?
I was hired for two reasons here at the Fitchburg Art Museum. You know, they wanted me to rejuvenate the museum because,
yep,
you know, every director brings fresh ideas and insights and so forth. And I kind of knew how to do that. But they also wanted the museum to participate in the rejuvenation of the city of Fitchburg.
Right.
And I thought that that was a really interesting challenge.
Yeah.
Because so I would have a job where I would literally be learning something new every day, which is something I wanted.
Let's end there, because all I can say is mission accomplished.
Thank you.
I love the Fitchburg Art Museum. It's a great place to go. People should just, and now you have no excuse.
Yes.
So my returning guest tonight.
As we possibly can.
My returning guest tonight, and it's always a pleasure to talk to him, is Nick Apasso, director of the Fitchburg Art Museum, and we've been talking all tonight about the museum's four-year centennial celebration. Nick, I'll see you up there.
Thank you, Mark.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.